What's up, Conference USA fans? Welcome into another episode of CUSA Insider, the official podcast of Conference USA. I'm Josh Jonas, filling in as host again this week. We've got another great episode. We'll be talking with Elena Escobar, the MVP of the 2025 CUSA Softball Championship. We'll also be touching a little bit on men's golf, outdoor track and field, baseball, and then we'll be previewing our softball regional where the Lady Flames will be heading to College Station. But a little bit of housekeeping before we get started. As always, you can find us on Spotify, Amazon Music, Apple Podcasts, wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts. And also, if you're watching us on YouTube, thank you. We continue to urge you to watch us on YouTube. And if you're not already, you're missing out on a great show, a great set, beautiful set here. So, let's get to the episode. I'm joined here by Eric Jones, our Associate Director of Communications, again, joining to kind of help me fill in a little bit on baseball. Eric, how are you doing?
Doing well. We are just a few days away from traveling out to Lynchburg, Virginia for our 2025 baseball championship. Couldn't be more excited, and we got still some seating to figure out this weekend, so excited to talk about that.
Oh yeah. Always love to talk a little bit of baseball, and we're getting right here at the end, so it's certainly exciting. But like I mentioned, we got a couple more sports to touch on first. Men's golf, want to give a special shout-out to Kennesaw State's Clace Beauregard, who will be heading to the national championships after an incredible performance at the Auburn Regional. So as we know, the top five individuals on a non-advancing team are the ones that advance to the NCAA championships. Clace left no doubt. A lot of guys are usually left waiting to see who's the one, you know, who are the teams that are advancing to figure out who goes. He said, nah, I'm just going to do my thing. He finished tied for second in the Auburn Regional among a extremely talented field. He finished 8 under par through three rounds. He's the first Owl to qualify for the NCAA National Championship as an individual. He shot 4 under each of the first 2 days, really just left his mark through the first couple rounds, and then finished it out with a nice even par. Wouldn't that be nice, man, just to go out there and shoot 8 under for 3 days?
I would kill for that.
He led the field in par four scoring average. So an incredible week for Clace, for the Owls to have that representation at the NCAA National Championship. So he'll earn a spot to compete for a national title at the Omni La Costa Resort and Spa, May 23rd to the 26th out there in Carlsbad, California. So not a bad trip either. So good for Clace. Good luck to you. Obviously, we'll talk more about that once the national championships roll around and fill y'all in on how he does. And then outdoor track and field. We're getting there, you know, almost the end of championship season. I think it's this in baseball, and that's it.
Last two.
So, yeah, it's crazy how much the year flies by. But outdoor track and field, the 2025 championships are being hosted by Middle Tennessee at the Dean Hayes Track and Soccer Stadium. 3 days of jam-packed action, all leading to two conference champions being crowned at the end of it on Sunday. All of Sunday's action you can catch on ESPN Plus. So be sure, if you're not already, to subscribe so you can see all the jumps and runs and throws and whatever all else is entailed in that. I think the favorites probably going into it are Liberty. They swept the men's and women's titles last year. They captured the women's indoor title. Kennesaw men captured the men's indoor title. Frankly, I'm not really sure how well that translates to outdoor, but I got to imagine there's probably a good amount of overlap that'll lead to some success there. But Liberty will have a chance at becoming the first school ever in Conference USA history. I know we're pretty young, only about 30-something years now, but first school ever to sweep both titles in consecutive years.
Wow.
Yeah, it's been done on one side or the other, on men's or women's, but no school has ever done that four sweep in a two-year span. So we'll see if the Flames and Lady Flames can get it done in Murfreesboro this weekend. Like I mentioned, it starts Friday and Sunday with all the finals, and you can catch all of that action on ESPN Plus. But all right, let's get to our diamond discourse, as we agreed to a couple weeks ago. Back at it. We'll start with baseball.
Yeah.
Man, two huge sweeps this past weekend that obviously had big implications on some tournament contention, on our regular season championship race. So and between two of the hottest teams, I think, as we get down to the end of the season here. So how are we looking, man, going into the last weekend?
We're looking good. I think, you know, you look at DBU right now, and, you know, coming into every year, it's almost like, all right, these guys are going to be the guys to beat. They've struggled at points this season, even out of the gates. Usually they're one of the hottest teams out of the gates. This year they've kind of flipped that switch at the right time of year, and I think they're playing outstanding baseball right now. They've won 7 straight, found themselves back in the top 25 of every single national outlet. D1 Baseball had them at 24 this week. Like I said, yeah, won 7 straight. I think they've won 15 of the last 16 conference games.
Wow.
Sitting at 19-5 right now. And have a pretty big series on the road this week at Liberty, a team that, you know, has not wanted the conference season that they wanted. They've played really, really well in midweeks and just have not been able to play well in these conference games week in and week out. But they are a talented bunch. I know they've had the injury bug, as have a lot of our schools this year. You know, they're missing a key arm this weekend in Dylan Matheson, which will be tough, but, you know, it gives guys a chance to step up. But, you know, this is the best time of year to be playing baseball. And, you know, they're still fighting for that 8 spot in the championship. You know, they could mathematically could still, you know, make it up to 6 if they wanted to in seeding. But they got their hands full this weekend with a really hot Dallas Baptist team. And then Dallas Baptist, they traveled yesterday out to Lynchburg, and they'll be staying, you know, with their eyes on staying through next Sunday in the championship. So
it's a long trip.
It's quite a long trip, but I know, you know, Coach Hiefner will have them busy and whatnot, but super excited for that matchup this weekend. DBU can clinch the regular season as early as tonight. Their magic number for that is 2. If they win tonight, WKU loses tonight, they will clinch the number 1 seed in the regular season title. Or, you know, if WKU wins, if DBU wins tonight and tomorrow, then they will clinch as well. So 2 wins at the minimum for them. But, you know, you look at, you know, Middle Tennessee and Kennesaw this weekend, and, you know, Kennesaw State didn't have the week they wanted to last week in Dallas. You know, they'd been playing really, really good baseball, been hitting the cover off the ball. You know, they have a chance to bounce back and spoil, you know, Middle Tennessee's run to try and get in the tournament here at the end. Been really impressed by how they've carried themselves this season in a new league. That's not an easy thing to do. You know, you got a completely different landscape. You know, you don't know these schools probably as well as you may think. And, you know, been very impressed with them this year. They got a guy in Donovan Cash that's been cashing in all year. I mean, nice. The guy is a threat at the plate every time he comes up, and he's a big guy. Put the ball out of the yard in an instant. So super excited to see their lineup show out in here this weekend and next week as well.
Nice. That's awesome. And I think one thing that jumped out to me, you know, I kind of did some digging on the baseball side. And because I'd looked at this on the softball side, because we had such wacky results where, you know, a team would sweep one team, get swept by another, or lose, you know, beat one team and lose to another. And DBU, when you talk about really taking care of business, their record against the top half of the league, so the other 4 teams there in the top 5, they're 9-3 against those teams. And 2 of the losses were to WKU, who's still in the conference championship race here heading into the final weekend. But I think that's just a testament to, you know, hey, okay, the season hasn't been perfect, but yeah, right here at the stretch, seems like they're peaking at the right time. They're beating some really good teams that I'm sure they're bound to match up with next week Lynchburg. And so they've already seen the ability to beat those teams, which is good for them and their confidence for sure. So I know you mentioned the DBU Liberty series coming up this weekend. Is that kind of the one to watch, or what are some other ones that you think are going to be the most important? Maybe, you know, even if it's you know, lower teams in the standings, but may have some tournament implications.
Yeah, you look at all 5 series this weekend, and I can feel like you could, you know, put out a case for each one of them being extremely important. I look at WKU and Jack State too, just being, you know, WKU's playing really good ball again. They're 41-10 right now overall. They've won 7 straight. They've also hit a little bit of a rough patch a couple weeks ago, but, you know, they're bouncing back. But Jack State's coming off a weekend series win against La Tech. And WKU, like you said, still in the mix for a regular season title, but also for, you know, postseason, you know, beyond conference championship, where, you know, we look at trying to get 2 teams in this year. And I think the last field of 64 we saw from D1 baseball, we had DBU and WKU in there. Would love to see it. I think they still, you know, if you don't win the regular season, you don't win the conference tournament, they got some work to do. And I think it starts this weekend. You know, a sweep would be huge for them, I think, just resume-wise, and you go into the conference tournament with 44 wins. You know, I don't care who you play. This is D1 college baseball here. I think, you know, both those teams at the top right now deservingly should be in the tournament. Yeah. So super excited to see how WKU matches up at home this week against Jack State. They've lost one game all year at home. They're 29-1. I like their odds going into this weekend, but again, it's baseball in May, so there's no telling there. Middle Tennessee and Kennesaw this weekend. I think, you know, Middle Tennessee's got a lot to play for. Kennesaw State kind of in the seeding there. They're not able to jump and get to the regular season title right now, but I think, you know, Middle Tennessee, if they win two games, they could easily be finding themselves in the conference tournament and knocking Liberty out. That's crazy. So a big series there. And then Sam Houston is still mathematically in as well. You know, they would need a sweep, and then Liberty and Middle Tennessee to both get swept. But 2 weeks ago, last home series, they swept Liberty. So, I mean, Heck, you never know. You never know. And FIU not playing as great right now as well. So this could be a weekend that Sam Houston kind of jumps on it. Last weekend, home series, let's go after it and see what we can do. But, yeah, just super excited for this weekend. You know, we'll have bracket coming out Saturday afternoon after I think our last game's at 1 o'clock Central Time.
Okay.
On Saturday, and then we'll see ourselves with some postseason awards Tuesday, and championship begins 9 a.m. Eastern Wednesday morning. So
bright and early.
Looking forward to it. Oh yeah.
Yep. That's awesome. Well, yeah. And like going back to what you said about WKU and I mean, yeah, like, right. Like no matter where you play, 44 wins is 44 wins. But I think to kind of combat that, I mean, CUSA, you know, as a league has been a top 10, if not top 8 conference,
no doubt,
RPI wise. So yeah. I think there's even more an argument there. They have a series win over DBU. So, yeah, I think, you know, again, I'll put my kind of tinfoil hat on and make my prediction. Like, you know, I think if they get to that championship game, I think it should all but ensure that, you know, they're at least in that last four in, right?
No doubt.
If not somewhere better. So, yeah, really hoping that, that comes to fruition. We get a couple teams in. It'd be awesome to have a little extra postseason for us. I hope for your sake that you get as exciting of a championship that I got the luxury of watching on the softball side this past week in Bowling Green. Man, this was such a fun championship. Yeah. And I know Dane, our producer, would probably chime in on this as well. He obviously gets to shoot all of it from the other side of a camera and capture all of the joy and the heartbreak and the all the emotions that went into this championship. But we had it all. I mean, we had walk-offs, we had extra innings, we had run rules, diving catches,
upsets
yeah, yeah. A little drama here and there. We had the works, man. And it was a lot of fun. And the ball was flying in Bowling Green. You know, really? We talked a lot about it, you know, last year in Las Cruces with that thin mountain air, that ball just kept carrying out there. And I didn't expect it in Bowling Green as much. You know, I don't know if it was just the field dimensions, you know, were a little bit more favorable for hitters or, you know, it was a little gusty in Bowling Green all week. So maybe that you know, jet stream was kind of in effect.
Yeah.
But
you look at it too, like these, you know, teams, they got scouting reports all over now.
Yeah,
I mean, they're seeing each other all year. So maybe hitters just feeling more comfortable against the pitchers they've seen throughout the year.
Yeah. Yeah. And it was cool to see. I mean, like, you know, I throw one out specifically. Addison Snyder had a walk-off home run for La Tech in their opening game against New Mexico State. And it was her first career home run, right? And that's the beauty of postseason, you know, baseball and softball is you have these people emerge that, you know, they're obviously on the team. They contribute all year long, but they've never had that moment.
Yeah.
And so it's so cool to see that in a postseason environment, like those kind of stars emerge, you know, beyond the normal names that we always talk about week in, week out on this podcast. But yeah, we had 21 home runs in 10 games, just over half the runs throughout the entire tournament came via the long ball. So lots of fireworks to add to all the other fun that we had in that championship. The last home run, probably the most most impactful, a grand slam from Savannah Woodard to secure a run rule victory for Liberty in that title game. Lady Flames ended up getting their revenge. You know, played out a lot like last year where they dropped that early game to New Mexico State. They battle out of the contenders bracket. And we start to think, oh man, you know, if they get knocked out or if they lose this championship game, you know, we're getting two teams in. And so the whole time we're sitting there like, all right, you know, it might happen this way. But Liberty says, nope. You know, they were like, we're taking this. This is ours. They get their revenge on the Gamecocks. They dominated them 8-0 on Saturday to become the first back-to-back CUSA tournament champion since 2011. So in 14 years. Yeah.
Wow.
It had been a minute. It was East Carolina in 2010, 2011 was the last repeat champion. So just says something about the parity of our league. I mean, obviously realignment plays a large role in that as well, but so congrats to the Lady Flames on an incredible week in Bowling Green. They'll turn their attention to the NCAA regionals. They'll be in the College Station regional with top seeded Texas A&M, which was admittedly not the greatest sight. I mean, it was right there at the top of the show too. I'm sitting there like I had just gotten comfortable to watch the selection show. I was kind of expecting them to be, you know, somewhere in the 5-7 seed range against an ACC or an SEC team, or I should say a more East Coast SEC team. Mm-hmm. You see their name come up right there at the top of the show. I was like, oh, okay, all right, here we go. Lady Flames all season long have not turned away from a challenge. They had a couple really big wins early on in the season. They beat Alabama. That was kind of one of their premier wins early in the season. And then obviously, they had to win a lot of games in a really talented Conference USA, had to battle back in the Conference USA tournament. And so they're no slouch. I mean, won 47 games.
Yeah. So. I mean, their schedule is obviously built for these moments.
Right.
And, you know, put the pressure on Texas A&M, you know, go out there and play, you know, hair on fire and put the pressure on the home team, make them really work for it. And you never know what can happen in the postseason.
Yeah, for sure. They do have to get through Marist in the first game. They play at noon on Friday, noon Central on ESPN Plus. So a talented Marist team that's always been in the conversation is one of the top mid-major teams in the country, along with Liberty. Both teams are very similar statistically. I remember pulling something early on in the year where the only non-power teams that had ranked in the top 25 in batting average and ERA were Liberty, Marist, and Grand Canyon, another extremely talented program in the softball ranks and really in multiple sports. The West Coast Liberty. So that'll be a tough matchup for them in the first one. And then obviously the elephant in the room being a potential matchup with Texas A&M on Saturday. But I think, you know, when you kind of pick apart, you know, these teams just in terms of where they rank nationally. One thing that jumped out for both Marist and Texas A&M, they both rank very low in hits allowed per seven innings. So that's something where I look at this Liberty lineup and their ability to string hits together. Now, a lot, as I mentioned, did come via the long ball, but I think we saw it. They maybe not always capitalize, but I look at that La Tech game on Friday night where they continually had runners in scoring position, bases loaded situations. And, you know, even if you don't always capitalize on those situations, the more you pressure you put on opposing pitching with those situations, the egg's going to crack at some point, right?
Yep.
If you get that many runners on base, you're going to score runs eventually. Yep. So I think that should be a point of contention, is to really, you know, you got to play some station to station softball. Get some runners on, get some pressure, you know, see some pitches, get to the bullpen, whatever it may be, you find those little advantages, especially against a team like the Aggies.
Yeah. So. And that right there just builds a championship team as a whole. You know, going back to when I was a student athlete playing baseball, it's like the teams that you see that are winning these championships and going on these long runs are the teams that can hit with two outs and hit with runners in scoring position. Cause you strike out to end the inning, or you ground out or pop up to end the inning with runners on, and it's like almost deflating, and you know, momentum's back to them. So being able to maintain some momentum in postseason play is just crucial.
Yeah. And I think some of the off the field things that I think will fuel Liberty in this regional is, you know, obviously Coach Richardson for Liberty has been here countless times. She's been to however many regional finals now, has not been able to get, you know, bust down that door and get to the super regionals. So obviously there's some hunger there. And I think you see a little bit of that with their veteran players, like someone like Rachel Roop that has been around this program. You know, she was on that team that lost, had to, you know, or unfortunately, you know, lost to Georgia twice, you know, on the cusp of getting to the Super Regionals. So just that little extra edge that, you know, they're like, hey, we're here to prove something. You know, that was something that I asked Elena Escobar in this interview coming up is just, you know, what do you have to prove on the national stage? And the first thing she said was that we belong. Yeah. And I think that Liberty all season long, but really over the past handful of seasons has continually proved that they belong in the conversation. They were in the top 25 almost, you know, with the exception of, you know, a few of the last 4 weeks here, the regular season when they were kind of dropping a game here and there in conference play, they had started to drop out. But, you know, they were always in the conversation. So, you know, they do end up getting that last number two seed, which is, you know, a little bit of an advantage in that first game. You do get to play as the home team. So I'm glad they got rewarded with that. But yeah, I mean, I'm excited. So, you know, again, after how tough it was to watch them, how that regional ended last year, I'm excited to see how they come out. I mean, this team compared to last year is somehow that much better. Again, winning 47 games in a season is an incredible feat. You know, I was super excited to do this interview with Elena. I'm excited to share it with you guys. You know, I feel like I didn't even talk about her when I talked about the tournament recap, but, you know, an incredible week for Elena Escobar, in a week where, you know, like I mentioned, the bats were hot, for everybody. You know, she managed to put up some insane numbers on the pitching side. She was 3-0 during Liberty's run, had a 0.33 ERA, 20 strikeouts to just 4 walks, and I believe 21 innings. So pitching some very efficient softball, had to pitch all 10 innings of that semifinal win over La Tech. I mean, she just willed her team to victory. She was hurting. She was, you know, just the... you know, being in a 1-1 game like that for such a long time, I'm sure it wore on her emotionally and mentally, but she made it through, pitched a gem in the championship game. So it was a no doubter to pick her as MVP. And obviously to bring her onto the podcast to talk more about that championship run and to help preview the NCAA regionals upcoming this weekend. So here's Elena Escobar. Joined now by Liberty Ace, CUSA Pitcher of the Year, and CUSA Softball Championship MVP. I don't think I left anything off there, but joined now by Elena Escobar. Elena, how's it going?
Good. How are you?
I'm good. First off, congratulations to you and your team. How are you feeling emotionally and probably more importantly, physically?
Physically, I feel good. They gave me yesterday off, so I've just kind of been relaxing and then today I'm going to get back in the bullpen and start prepping for A&M, but we're all just over the moon excited. It's not very often that you get to be on a team where you get to win 2 back-to-back conference championships, so we're also kind of riding the high from this past weekend.
Yeah, obviously an incredible feat to be the first back-to-back CUSA championships in, champions in almost 15 years. But for those of you who didn't watch, first off, shame on you. But you missed an all-time classic there Friday night going into Saturday afternoon. Elena, you threw all 10 innings of a semifinal victory over La Tech on Friday, came right back out looking better than ever on Saturday for the championship final. Now, I know softball pitching is a little different, but just kind of walk me through that decision to go again on Saturday. Was that, you know, did you have to kind of fight for that a little bit to go right back out there, or how did that come to be?
No, I didn't have to fight at all. The coaches, you know, they wanted the ball in my hand, just because we had already played Jacksonville State and they had already seen Paige Bachman and Yoder. So they kind of knew that I was going to have to start the game. But they made sure, Coach Fagan texted me and asked me, on Friday night if I was okay to go the next day. And I've said this before, I'm very stubborn, so like I'm not going to be the one to say no, I'm not ready to go. So I was like, yes, obviously, I'm okay. Like I have an Achilles injury. That's been like the main reason some of my innings have been limited this year. And I told Coach Fagan, I was like, it really only hurts when I walk, but I can't feel it when I'm pitching, so I think I'm going to be okay.
Yeah, once that adrenaline kicks in, I'm sure it makes it a little easy to set aside.
Yeah.
So let's dive into that La Tech game. One of the most entertaining games I've watched in college softball. I mean, this one had everything, right? Diving catches, heads up defense, a few costly mistakes here and there, some great coaching. But how did your teammates and your coaches come around to support you as you, gutted through, the eighth, ninth, 10th innings?
Whenever we'd have our huddle and we get off the field and we'd end the inning in like either a big strikeout or a big play, they're like, let's finish this. Let's get this job done. Like one time they're even like, let's finish this game for E, because they know how much pain I'm in, especially later in the games. But they were all just like, we're going to play for each other. And I think that's what kept pushing us. Like at the end of the day, not saying La Tech didn't want the win, but we just wanted it so bad for each other.
Yeah, that's awesome. And then, like I said, you showed no signs of wear on Saturday. You came out, struck out the first, or your first six outs were strikeouts, posted one of your most efficient lines of the season. What was the mindset and the approach going into that game, that rematch against Jack State? Obviously a very talented offense through the tournament all season long, but you go out there and shut them down.
My goal as a pitcher, every single inning, I would go out there and I just say minimal damage. So obviously they're a great team. They're going to get hits. They're going to score runs. So just reminding myself that it's okay if they do, because we have a great offense and I just need to keep it to as minimal runs as possible. Thankfully they didn't score any, so we didn't really have to worry about that. But yeah, I just kept telling myself, keep it as close to the game as possible.
You had plenty of highlight reel moments, moments where you're showing a lot of emotion. What moment this past week really stuck out to you?
I'd have to say bases loaded against La Tech with the 3-2 count. I had to take a few deep breaths before that last pitch.
Yeah, that's the stuff dreams are made of, right? That's what the situation you play out as a kid on the field, in that situation. So that's awesome. A lot of talented players around the league that played in this tournament, some unsung heroes that always seem to emerge during championship week. I'm going to put you on the spot here a little bit. Who was the most challenging hitter that you had to face this week?
The most challenging hitter. I would have to say, let me try to remember his name. It's the La Tech hitter, the transfer from South Carolina. I can't
okay.
remember his name.
I
think she's the four hole. I'm really bad with names, so. But
yeah, was that Marchant, the first baseman?
Yes. Something about pitching to her, I know in the games they kept saying that I had done a really good job with her, but every single time she came up, I would have to extra think about where I'm placing the ball and what pitches I'm going to throw. And Coach Fagan and Sammy and Kirby, they all did an amazing job prepping us to pitch to her specifically. We practiced throwing to hitters before the games and stuff, and I just remember it was like, okay, Marchant's up. What are we going to throw her? I really had to lock it whenever I was pitching to her, because you make one mistake and the ball's out of the park, and we didn't want that.
Right. I'll ask a few more personal questions to kind of your background here. Year two at Liberty, obviously a huge step this year. Last year was still successful, but getting that CUSA Pitcher of the Year title, another conference championship under your belt. What has been the biggest key to, the step that you took this year?
Just staying focused. I have a really big problem, especially in the game, where I'll get distracted and I'll start thinking about like after the game, or I'll get too far ahead. Like, okay, if we win this game, then here's what we're going to do for the next game. So just really focusing on like staying present. That's been our goal as a team this year, and especially my own personal goal, is just to like really take in the moment and really focus on what's going on in at that time. Like one pitch at a time is what we say a lot. So just really just embracing the moment and not thinking too far ahead.
Okay. What is first up on Elena Escobar's pregame playlist? And then also maybe what's something unique that's part of your pregame ritual?
Pre-game playlist is kind of all over the place. I've been listening to a lot of Lady Gaga before the games. Me and my roommate like to listen to her in the car. I know. I feel like that's a little bit, out there, like people probably aren't listening to Paparazzi by Lady Gaga before their games, but something about it is just like, I don't know. It just gets me fired.
Hey, whatever works, right? Yeah.
And then pregame ritual. I don't really have a lot of pregame stuff. I would say I have to have an energy drink before every game. That's really the only thing that I have to keep the same.
All right, now you're talking my language. What's your energy drink of choice?
It depends on how I feel for the day, but it would either be a pink slush Alani or a green Monster is normally my go-to.
Okay, I've heard a lot about the Alani. I need to try those, but I'm so a Celsius good. Guy myself. White peach Celsius is my go-to.
Yeah, that's I don't think I've ever had that. I don't think we can drink Celsius, so I don't really drink them.
Yeah, that might be a problem. Yeah. when you're not in the circle practicing, training, whatever it may be, what do you do to unwind a little bit?
So I'm a nursing student. So there's not much time for unwinding. I would say my stress levels are probably at like a constant 12 out of 10. Right now, without school, I would say I hang out with my friends like all the time. My teammates, I'm with them all of the time. Like they're like my safe place whenever we're not at the field. So we were over there for like 4 hours yesterday, and my friend did my nails, and we just like watched movies. So I guess whenever we're not in school, that's what I do to unwind.
Nice. All right. So looking ahead to regionals this weekend, what is the vibe in the locker room?
I think yesterday or Sunday, whenever we found out, it was shock. we did not expect to see our name get called first. So I think it was a lot of processing. But now going into practice and prepping for the weekend, it's just pure excitement. Like, it's not very often that you get to say you get to play the number one ranked team in the country. So I think we're all just super, super excited, super focused, and just doing everything we can to prep for like the most amazing team ever.
Yeah, I mean, you guys have not shied away from some talented teams this year. Obviously got a couple of huge wins early on in the year. You were continually tested against ACC foes in midweek games. How much do you think that's prepared you for what's possibly ahead?
I think that it helps us make the moment not so big, especially we have a lot of returners this year, and we got the opportunity to play at Oklahoma last year. And I think that was one of the biggest stages that you can be on, with thousands and thousands of screaming fans that are so loud that you can barely hear yourself on the field. And I think that moment is what's going to prep us the most, because I know College Station is going to be absolutely insane and probably around the same environment that Oklahoma was.
How does the preparation for you or for the team change, if at all, heading into the NCAA tournament?
I think just staying calm whenever we're prepping, not making the pitcher seem too good for us, or the hitters make him seem too big. Like, we want them to just be like, okay, this is what they're throwing. This is what their hole is whenever they're hitting. Just, you know, Emily Kennedy's like one of the most amazing pitchers. And I know we have to play Marist State first, but just they have really amazing hitters too. So not like making them seem like they're too good for us, if that makes sense. Just like prepping as if we would prep for any team that we're playing, and not make it the moment seem too big.
Yeah, for sure. What is one thing that you want to prove on the national stage?
I think that we belong there. I have it embroidered into my glove, you belong. I think that sometimes Liberty can get overlooked and, you know, lack of respect towards us. But I think especially last year in the Georgia Regional, we really proved ourselves. And then beating Alabama earlier this year and just competing with teams all year long. So I think just proving that we belong there and that we're good enough to play with any team that's out there.
Yeah, and that's kind of a perfect segue, because that's obviously something, you know, the last 5 or 6 years that Liberty has gotten right on the door of the Super Regionals. What do you think it's going to take for you guys to really get over that hump this year and potentially get to the final 16 there?
I think just playing for each other. We also play for the Lord, who is bigger than ourselves. So it gives us a constant motivation. We don't really need anything to like motivate us to want to be there, because we play for him and we play for each other. So just focusing on why we're there, and again, just being so present in the moment, because I know, especially for myself, going into the seventh inning when we were at Georgia last year, everything just felt so fast and chaotic. So just making sure that we slow the game down, even whenever things are getting out of our hand.
What has this season taught you most about the game, your team, or yourself personally?
I think for my team, it's taught me that they're just the grittiest people I know. Like, they will always find a way to come back and win. And even whenever you think, like, the game's over, the game's never over. The game of softball is so unique because anyone can be anybody. Anything can happen. I was watching a game where BYU came back, I think, and beat Utah after they were down 8-0 in the bottom of the seventh. And I think that that also speaks a lot to our team, too, because we're the same way. Like, we'll be down by so many runs, and then we'll just find ways to come back and keep fighting. So they're just the grittiest people I know. They're amazing.
All right. And then lastly, if you could send a message to Liberty fans before the tournament, what would it be?
I think just keep supporting us and keep having faith in us. We are playing the one seed, and I know that can be like seem like a really big challenge, but just have faith in us. We're going to get this job done.
All right. Well, Elena, thank you so much. As she mentioned, they'll be in action against Marist in the first game of the College Station Regional at 12 Central, 1 Eastern on Friday afternoon. You can catch that one on ESPN+. Elena, again, thank you so much. This has been great. Thank you so much to Elena Escobar for joining the CUSA Insider Podcast. And thank you to Eric Jones for joining me as well. This was such a fun episode. You know, right here as we get to the end of championship season, we get into the end of softball season. Men's golf postseason is still going on. So there's still plenty to talk about. But as I mentioned at the top of the show, please subscribe and continue to listen on Spotify, Amazon, Apple, wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts. Continue to watch us or start watching us on YouTube if you're not already. Also for our softball postseason action, our outdoor track and field championship action this weekend, be sure to get your ESPN Plus subscriptions so you can follow along with all the exciting stuff going on in Conference USA. This has been another a great episode of CUSA Insider, the official podcast of Conference USA. I'm Josh Yonas, signing off.